Welcome to another episode of What Else You Got with Mitch and Margo. I'm Mitch. What else you got, Margo?
You know what, Mitch? You would think that our opening is simple enough that we could catch that in one recording. But sometimes I wonder, is that going to be good enough? How about that for a topic? What is good enough? Is it good enough for today, or do we need to do 10 takes to get it just right, a little closer to perfection? What is perfection? And why do some people strive so hard for perfection? Why can't we just be good enough?
That is a great topic. That kind of goes off of the blog post that went out, I think, yesterday, technically, at least from the time that people are watching this or listening to this. But yeah, there's a bunch of different things for what is good enough for today. What are your thoughts on good enough for today?
Well, you know what? Years ago, my dear sweet mother-in-law, who is now not amongst us, well, at least physically, I had worked so hard to fix my hair one morning, and they were in town visiting, and they came over to our house, and she looked me up and down, and she said, "Oh, honey, it's okay. I had a bad night also and woke up with some serious bedhead, so nobody's gonna notice." And I thought to myself, I planned my hair to look this way. I had it a little spiky that day, and I thought it looked perfect. I thought it looked pretty cute. And she told me it was good enough. It's okay. People wake up with bedheads sometimes. She was serious. She wasn't joking. So.
That actually brings up a very interesting point of what some people understand the requirement to be and what you understand the requirement to be. Because just bouncing off of the blog post, it really comes down to kind of three tiers. And I find that I use three tiers quite a bit for different things. And it also technically goes off of the previous blog post also of Seascape degrees. Know what the requirement is, know what the minimum is, and know what the desired state is, which it gives you quite a bit of flexibility on the different scopes at which you can work with. Because when someone says, do this assignment, they don't really specify exactly what those different tiers are. But as you ask questions, you get to understand what the desired state is, what the preferred state is, and what the absolute minimum is. And one of the things that I've learned as I've gone through these various projects is if you hit the minimum, if you still have time, you try to get to the what is asked, and if you have time, once you get to the ones what is asked, then you can get to the what is desired tier. But it really comes down to the knowing what you need to accomplish today, and what you need to accomplish for the project. And sometimes you can accomplish a project in a day, which makes good enough for today when you feel complete with that. Or if it's a really long project, you need to figure out what is needed for today's segment of the project with flexibility of I have these hard deadlines, those are the minimums. You have the optimal timeline, which gives you a little bit more pace, and then you have your desired state is if you're way ahead of it, you know you can either slow down on what you're doing or change what you're doing to improve the project overall.
I love that. That's such a completely different angle than what I was thinking. Because if you mentioned to me good enough for today or perfectionism, I always think of hair first. As the daughter of a hairdresser, one of the deep inset ideas in my brain as a child was that my hair always had to look good, because my mom always said that I was a walking billboard for her business and it had to look good. And so for me, my hair never looked good enough because it never met her standard of perfection. And so for you to talk about these different levels, I suppose it depends upon who is defining the scope, who is defining those different the baseline. What were the three levels you said again?
Minimum requirement and desired state,
So
which
minimum required meant and desired state. So, yeah, gosh, as a recovering perfectionist, I don't think anybody ever introduced those concepts to me. I always thought that it had to be absolutely the best or you've fallen short, that it was either or, black or white, yes or no, achieved or not achieved, pass or fail. So to think of it in terms of those three different levels, sometimes hitting that minimum level of good enough for today is a much more peaceful state of mind to live in. Yeah.
Yes, very much so. I know that a couple of years ago, you and I had talked about C's get degrees, and that's the first time you've heard of that. And it's still.
Is a C good enough? Again, who's defining the scope? And what's your background? Because, I had never heard that phrase before my kids went to college. I had never heard that phrase, but it's true, isn't it? And then I think employers ask about your GPA when you're a freshly graduated college student, with your degree. But once you've had that first job out of college, how many employers ask what your GPA was?
Not that many.
Not as many, right? It's usually just that first employer after you've graduated from college that cares about your GPA. And then after that, your GPA just isn't that relevant anymore. Then it becomes about your work experience. So yes, thieves get degrees, but what's your background? What's your scope? Who's defining the parameters? Because if you are working on your bachelor's degree and you want to get into a good graduate program, well, your C might get you your bachelor's degree, but those C's aren't necessarily going to get you into the graduate program that you want. And I've always just been of the attitude of shoot for the moon, and even if you miss it, you'll land amongst the stars. So why aim for the minimum? I understand and appreciate your three different degrees there, minimum, I can't even remember what they were, required and
Desired.
see, I already forgot. Desired, because I've just always been the person who shoots as high as possible. So I would always shoot for that top level today, and then if I land in the lower areas, then I can still be satisfied with my result. But yeah, good enough for di today. That's something I've got to work on because I've always been an overachiever who shot for the moon. And yeah, that's a tough topic for me.
Yeah, here's a little twist to it. In longer term careers, I've heard of studies, I couldn't find them because ChatGPT said they didn't exist, which I'm pretty sure they do exist because I've heard it from multiple different sources, that in longer careers, the people who got not A's, so B's or C's, generally do better in careers long term because they don't face burnout, because they learned how to balance the assignment with living life.
Interesting. I've also heard that as when it comes to careers, that people who were not straight A students, 4.0 GPAs, are better team players. Have you heard that?
I think I might have. I've also heard that A people usually work for C people.
Oh, I haven't heard that. But if you think about it, people who have always strived for the perfect 4.0 GPA, they may be harder to work with on a team because they're so consumed with achieving their personal perfection that they don't have as much time to concern themselves with the success of their teammates. Do you think that's true?
Well, considering whenever you're in school, people hate group projects. And why is that? Stereotypically, the A person does all the work, B person tries to help, but the A person pushes them out, and the C person doesn't even try because A person grabs it and runs with it.
Well, but then, so that's kind of going against what I said, though, because if I'm suggesting that C students make better team players, maybe it's B students who make better team players. I don't know.
It so at least with what I described, it was more centralized around the A's need for control, as if you were to remove the A and only have the B and C's, they usually play nice together.
Yes. I think that's where I was going with that topic because for the 4.0 A student who strives for perf who demands perfection, it's harder for them to work in a team group environment because there are so many other players who think C is good enough, which in fact, C's do get degrees. C's are good enough. C's are average. And is there anything wrong with being average? If you're getting the work done, is there? I don't know. If you're a good team player, maybe it's better.
It really does go to what's the objective, which kind of goes to what you're saying. If you are a high achiever, and I'll even put the word perfectionist in there, you are trying to strive for that top tier as and that is your requirement, but that also comes with the stress. It comes with the debilitating, I failed if you didn't hit the top tier. As if you kind of look at the other side, if your requirements are a little bit looser, you're a little bit more flexible, and you're able to adapt smoothly. Because there is a saying, a great plan doesn't survive first encounter. And it's just one of those that, yeah, you can plan out everything absolutely perfectly, but if you are a, the plan is the only way to go, something hiccups your plan, what does your plan do? It just keeps train wrecking.
Well, I think that comes back to the concept of perfectionism. If you are narrow-minded and only focused on perfection, then yeah, the first hiccup that plan encounters, it's no longer perfect. What's the point in continuing? And it's more important to be looking for solutions and having the ability to pivot and come up with different ideas, a different game plan, than it is to be so stuck on perfecting the original idea that you don't have any bandwidth to come up with creative solutions and pivot.
Yeah, and I also want to just throw in there that if you are an A student, you still can have the C qualities. It's just one of those, it really depends on how you approach things. Because I think one of the interesting contrasts is growing up, you encouraged me to get A's throughout high school and get A's throughout college. And as you kind of mentioned, towards like graduate programs, those are great for helping out with getting scholarships and opportunities. But in college, when I got, I think it was a B my first semester, I had no hope of hitting a 4.0 for the rest of college. But it was one of those that it allowed me to shift my perspective from trying to rely on others when I had to be perfect to I can rely on myself to make the plan work and to adapt. And so even though I came away with almost a 4.0, the school I went to, even though it was an almost 4.0, it still wasn't a full ride. Because I heard that some schools, if you get 3.6, it's a full ride. I had like a 4, or not 4, a 3.96, which was not a full ride. So it really depends on where you go. But the point I'm going for is if you learn how to adapt and are able to wiggle through the difficulties, you will be able to grow. And an A still might be a side effect of your ability to adapt, but it really comes down to learning how to learn and learning how to adapt to work around various problems and be able to.
If you're paying more than $1 a month for any ED or hair medication, listen up. At Joy and Blokes, when you start TRT or enclomiphene, you can add any ED or hair loss prescription for just $1 a month. $1 add-ons with your hormone plan, and right now all labs are 50% off. I'm Josh Whalen, founder of Joy and Blokes. I built this company because men are tired of paying for fragmented care without results. Every Joy and Blokes lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who connects your symptoms to your biomarkers. You'll get a real plan that covers hormones, performance, and confidence. If you're considering TRT or enclomiphene, this is the most efficient way to do it. Get started at joyandblokes.com and use the promo code podcast. New customers get 50% off their labs, and for a limited time, you can take advantage of our $1 ED or hair loss add-ons when you start TRT or enclomiphene. Not available in all states. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Learn more at joyandblokes.com.
Know what is good enough and what the actual requirement is, because there's just so many possibilities to be able to adapt and grow to make the most out of what is available.
Well, and oftentimes, I mean, if you think of the great inventors and creative minds of our history, I mean, if they only strived for perfection and then quit when a hiccup in their plan came along, we would be without a lot of great inventions today because failure is a built-in part of the process of experimenting and creating and coming up with great ideas. And in a previous podcast, we talked about being in that car and traveling at a velocity and not recognizing your own progress because you're in the car and it feels like you're not moving. Well, if you're focused on perfection and focused on only achieving the original end goal, well, you might just hop out of that car and quit because you think you have failed, but you would be quitting on something that's great because you've already achieved so much just by pursuing a goal. And perfectionism can be the death of a lot of great ideas, projects, and paths.
So one of the videos I randomly came across this morning that I saved years ago on Instagram, the guy was describing how smoke detectors were invented. It was a byproduct of another effort that didn't work. And so to go over that story real quick, basically there was a guy who was trying to detect dangerous gases. So post World War I, they wanted to know if there was poisonous gases or dangerous gases. And he spent forever trying to get it to work and just couldn't. And so he stepped away from the problem, took a smoke break, and as he was smoking, his invention worked. And he was looking at it going, "What just happened?" And he goes, "Wait, I had something that was supposed to detect dangerous gases, but it picked up that I was smoking." And so he was able to figure out how to make this invention by a pure mistake, even though it wasn't the intended approach. And from that, eventually it got to the point where he had this really cool invention, but it cost too much to make, and so it got shelved, which is technically another one of those failures. And one of my favorite examples of failures to successes, which I put in the blog post, was Kevlar. Kevlar was a complete mistake. Kevlar, someone was trying to mix a polymer, got the mixture wrong, and it came out with this weird fibrous thing that had an unusual strength for its size. And then they realized, hey, if we weave this together, it can prevent things going through it. And then, of course, no one thought going, a polymer can't stop a bullet. So the guy was so sure of it. There's actually YouTube videos that prove his point that Kevlar was safe. He proved the point with it himself and was able to achieve much. And so it's just one of those that, one, be smart in how you test things, two, be safe, but sometimes you need to take that jump to prove that a failure is actually a success.
Well, and that it comes back to the whole topic of if you're so focused on perfectionism of an original idea or plan, you're gonna miss out on a lot of really great ideas and opportunities and mistake inventions that came along. I mean, there are so many great inventions that happened because they were failures to original idea that was pursued.
And I actually have a really phenomenal personal experience with that, where I was in a programming class. We were supposed to make, I think it was AI, machine learning. It was long before those were the terms, but that's basically what it is now. And I was making a tic-tac-toe game that would learn and predict what you're doing, which technically didn't learn. It only predicted what the best paths were. And I wrote this one algorithm to block someone who had two in a row, and they only need a third, and it would take that third spot. And as I was testing with it, I realized that I coded it wrong, and instead of blocking you, it would take the opportunity to win. So if it saw two in a row, it didn't matter whose it was, it would take that third spot, and whether it was yours or whether it was its own, it would take the spot, which what it was supposed to do was block, but instead it won.
Interesting. Interesting. Another idea that came to my mind on the topic of perfectionism, because I am a quilter, which is an awesome hobby. The Amish people, when they make quilts, they intentionally embed a flaw into their quilt because, and forgive me if I misquote their beliefs, because an Amish quilt is never perfect because it could be considered an offense to God, because perfectionism or being perfect is a trait that belongs to God. I'm pretty sure I just misquoted that, so no offense to anybody, but cool. But it's the concept of whether you want to make something perfect or not. Is perfect actually the ideal when you are trying to complete a project, or is less than perfect good enough?
As you say that, one of the thoughts that came to mind with the skew of media, and what I'm about to bring up has been a problem for decades, is personal image. And do you have to be the super skinny bikini person, or have to be super muscular man? And it's one of those that the self-perception, you can be perfect in your perception of yourself, which we never, but you will never hit those stereotypical perfectness, because at this point it's very well known that they're all photoshopped, they're all edited, they're modified in some form. But it really comes down to, am I good enough for today? Is what I'll say it as. Is the state I'm in, is it good enough for today? Am I moving towards my goal, or am I moving away from my goal? Now, it's one of those that, yes, some goals are to the extreme, but it really comes down to, are you at least headed in the right direction? Is the momentum towards your goal? And kind of like what you're saying, if you shoot for the moon and land among the stars, you at least were headed in that direction. Now, if you were going into the earth, that's technically the wrong direction.
Okay, and it comes back to who's defining the scope. Because if you're talking about body image, I mean, come on, that's a whole nother topic for a whole nother podcast. But if you're talking about body image, who's defining the freaking scope? Because I saw a terrific little TikTok video the other day that did a little parody of what a man who a man thought he was marrying, and it showed a perfect ideal female body type, and then it hopped to what he actually ended up with, and it was not the stereotypical female ideal body type, and she farted and burped and made jokes about it. But let's be real here. When it comes to defining the scope of what a woman's body should look like, who is setting the standard? And when a man marries a woman or chooses to partner up for a lifelong journey, a woman looks different pre-pregnancy. And so if a man marries a woman and is hoping that she maintains an ideal body image, first of all, he shouldn't be marrying somebody based on what their body looks like. But then if that man wants to have children, it affects a woman's body. And so then if the man doesn't like the way his wife looks after giving birth to babies, you know what? Birthing a baby, feeding a baby, all that crap, it's going to change a woman's body. And so who's setting the scope? Who's setting the standard? And who's setting the expectations? A body changes over time, and there are certain things that are out of our control. And so if you want to maintain a perfect body, well, don't give birth, okay? Because it changes the body. That was a little rant, huh?
But it still gets to the point of who's making the standards, and who is defining what the various requirements are, because it really does come down to, if you are achieving the goals you want to, and they are good goals, it doesn't really matter what other people's requirements for your goals are, because how do they know what your goals are and what's best for you when you're the one who gets to live with it?
Comes back to who's defining the scope, and who, if you're defining the scope of your own goals in life, and you've got somebody in your life who disagrees with the milestones or the end goal or the parameters, then how does that affect your life? How does it affect your personal judgment of yourself? And what value is that person bringing to your life if they're telling you that you are not good enough, that your achievements are not good enough? So if we're talking about work, then obviously your boss is defining the scope of your project and that minimum level and the desired level. So at work, it's one thing to have somebody else defining the scope, but in your personal life, who should be defining those goals and parameters? We should be doing it individually, and we should be judging ourselves individually. I heard a great quote the other day, again on TikTok. I'm new to TikTok and I'm enjoying it. But I heard a great one the other day that said the only opinions that should matter in your life are the opinions of two people. One person is the little you, the kid in you, and the version of you at 80. Those are the two opinions that should matter to you. So that little kid, is that little kid in you happy with the choices you're making today? And is that 80-year-old version of you going to be happy with the choices you're making today? Those are the only two opinions that should matter. So who's defining the scope of the goals and achievements in your personal life? And whose opinion are you placing value on?
Yeah, and some of those opinions of other people, they don't have to live with your consequences. You have to live with your consequences. When someone says, jump off a bridge, well, are they jumping with you, or are they wanting to see you hit the bottom and walk away with a cast?
Well, and people are impacted by the decisions you make. So if you jump off that bridge, lives will be impacted. You have to ask yourself whose life will be impacted. And so, not to make light of that topic either, the choices we make do impact other people. And that's something we need to take into consideration. How much value are we going to put on the consequences of our decisions? Because a lot of times we can justify a choice saying that, oh, it's only going to impact me. Well, let's be honest. Is it only impacting you?
Yeah. And this is where I'm going to circle it back to the topic we started with of good enough for today. And like you said, is the decision of good enough for today going to negatively affect someone? If not, then you're perfectly okay with it's good enough for today. If it was going to negatively impact someone else, you probably should attempt to alleviate some of that impact. Or if it's still, whether you achieve success or not, if there's still that impact, then you're still good enough for today. But it really is try to get to a spot that is not harmful, but is still beneficial. And that is always a good spot for good enough for today.
And really, this is an awesome topic. And I think we have covered this topic well enough for today. So what else you got, Mitch? Anything for today? Or should we go ahead and wrap this up? Encourage people to leave comments. What do you think is good enough for today? Or do you think we should always strive for perfection? And be sure to check us out on social media, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. Follow us, check out our blog posts, and have a great day.
If you're paying more than $1 a month for any ED or hair medication, listen up. At Joy & Blokes, when you start TRT or enclomiphene, you can add any ED or hair loss prescription for just $1 a month. $1 add-ons with your hormone plan, and right now all labs are 50% off. I'm Josh Whalen, founder of Joy & Blokes. I built this company because men are tired of paying for fragmented care without results. Every Joy & Blokes lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who connects your symptoms to your biomarkers. You'll get a real plan that covers hormones, performance, and confidence. If you're considering TRT or enclomiphene, this is the most efficient way to do it. Get started at joyandblokes.com and use the promo code PODCAST. New customers get 50% off their labs, and for a limited time, you can take advantage of our $1 ED or hair loss add-ons when you start TRT or enclomiphene. Not available in all states. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Learn more at joyandblokes.com.